Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 169, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land, the streams exhaustless, bless the field, preparing it the grain to yield, provided by thy hand. And what follows, Psalter 169, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 139. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, and nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, and nor thy maidservant, and nor thy cattle, and nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and nor as manservant, nor as maidservant, nor as ox, nor as ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 139. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. as such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast carried us and our children for another week upon the wings of mercy, abundantly provided, not done according as we deserve, and when in this morning we may receive a place in thy house, may it please thee to grant those thoughts and those contemplations what we have heard out of thy holy word from the sweet psalmist of Israel, where he had profound impressions of thy omniscience and of thy omnipresence, that thou wast cared for him, where he was given to reflect when thou was formed and made him in the womb, where thou wast brought him hitherto, and where he was given to declare that all those thoughts, they were too wonderful for him. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant something of the meditations of the psalmist unto us and our children? Ah, when we have come up careless, lukewarm, concerning our soul, concerning the coming of Christ's kingdom, concerning the glory of thy great and worthy name, do come down with thy spirit, and that by the first time, but also by renewal, because the psalmist has said in another place, my soul cleaveth to the dust, but with the added prayer, quicken me according to thy word, Lord. Then in the realm of nature, then thou wast granted refreshing showers upon the thirsty earth. Thou wast not sent a great storm of destruction, but the gentle showers that may soften the earth, O Lord. We humbly beg of thee in this day and in this morning for the showers of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old. Ah, do it as thou hast promised in thy holy word. Thou can never do it because we deserve it, because our sins, they are great and manifold, ah, Lord. May that be or become our fear to sin against thee, a holy, a righteous, a good-doing God, to anger thee, to offend thee, to grieve thee. Oh, to belittle sin, but also to belittle the blood of thy dear Son. Lord, thou wast promised in thy word that thou wilt pour water upon them that are thirsty, floods upon the dry ground, my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall grow up as willows by the rivers of water. Ah, the one shall call themselves a Jacob, and another one an Israel, Lord. May such thirsty ones have come up to thy house with a sigh, with a cry, with a looking unto thee. Ah, could it be with a little expectation? Ah, do not disappoint them in this morning, but that they may return to their homes, ah, with goodly pearls, but above all the need, that we may come to a saving knowledge of that great pearl of great price, and that is thy dear Son, whom thou wast given that sinners may be saved. Oh, then it is an other soul's mark a day, where thou still profferest peace and pardon to sinners. Ah, Lord, work then mightily by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old, that in this morning hour it may be thy set time, that sinners may be wrought upon, that it may all become different, that he may be turned unto thee, the living God, to be placed in their guilt and in their missing. Ah, that it may become true as it was with the soul. Behold, he prayeth, but also those further leadings in the life of thy people. Lord, to that end, the necessity of the deeper uncovering of the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes accompanied by thy Spirit, and then thou usest difficult and trying ways, that they may learn lessons which cannot be learned elsewhere. O Lord, teach us and our children in the ways everlasting. We commend thy church over the length and over the breadth of the earth unto thee. The established churches, wilt thou remember and uphold the persecuted church so many places upon the earth, where a people do not have a sanctuary to enter, where they have to gather in secret places in their homes with fear and trembling, many in this day that are in prison because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we may still have the freedoms and the privileges, Lord. May we be humbled thereunder, and may we be given to faithfully use those privileges while it can yet, and while it may yet. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants, the team, the family circles, and do help the father and mother with their language studies. May they be given to experience also in that way that thou knowest of them, and with an eye upon thee for a purpose, that in due time they may be given to sow the seed in the language of the land. Lord, remember the many temporal needs, then we commend all unto thee, in a special way under the doctor's care, those that need healing and strengthening, those that struggle with continual pain. The different circumstances are known unto thee. It cannot be different. At times overwhelmed and discouraged, may they be given to tell thee, and then surely then thou wert speaking unto them in a special way. But, Lord, thou knowest that thy speaking without the application of the Holy Spirit, then we shall only become harder. And wilt thou then so remember them with thy favor? Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones amongst us, all the elderly ones in the evening of their life? Above all things, do save their never-dying souls. Wilt thou remember all the handicapped ones? Also for them it cannot be different. At times discouraged with many questions, but, Lord, remember them not only for the body, above all save their never-dying souls. We shall all come through the world, the one a little easier, the one with more storms. May we be more busy and concerned about our never-dying soul, where we are traveling to eternity, and where there are only two ways. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy blessing. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help? Do open thy precious testimony. May it go forth with power divine. Go then from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. Leave us not cold and untouched, but maybe we be wrought upon by the first time, and by renewal impress upon our hearts the shortness and the solemnity of life. Thou wast spared us for another week, then thy patient long-suffering is good over us. May we not abuse it, but may we be given to seek thee while thou mayest be found, and call upon while thou art near. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins of the past week, of this morning hour? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 148, the stanzas 1 through 5. Jehovah, to my prayer give ear, nor hide from thee from my cry. Attend my sad complaint and hear my restless moan and sigh. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the Emeritus Fund. Psalter 148, the first 5 stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord. And then by renewal, we wish to ask you for the portion of Scripture, Acts 27, the verses 8 through 19. And in this morning, we shall read the verses 17, 18, and 19, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. This portion of Scripture speaks of Paul the prisoner encountering a terrible storm on his journey to Rome, with three thoughts. In the first place, the calm before the storm. Secondly, the severity of the storm. And thirdly, the labors with the storm. Paul, the prisoner, encountering a terrible storm on his journey to Rome. The calm before the storm, the severity of the storm, and the labors with the storm. Beloved congregation, we have read together from Psalm 139, where David had deep contemplations concerning who the Lord was, especially his omnipresence and his omniscience, where he was given to reflect on the past, his wonderful creation. He was given to praise the Lord for the same, how that the Lord had led him hitherto. And then he was given to end in the Lord. A great privilege, one that may take place in our life. And not only in the time of troubles and adversity, but also in times when the Lord blesses us. Paul, persecuted for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Rome, has come in a great storm. And the Church of God, those storms, they are not easy and pleasant for the flesh. And nevertheless, the King of the Church has everything in his hands. And what a privilege and what a blessing it is when there are those storms, that our eye may be upon the King. Congregation, then we need to know that King. And that the King, that he directs everything in his providence, each wave, the time, and the height, to be given to be exercised with Lord's Day number 10, concerning the providence of the Lord. And as a general rule, then we are much more exercised with the providence of the Lord when there are contrary ways and when there are storms. But the Lord also grants unto his people that they may be exercised with the Lord's providence under his goodness, and that it becomes such a wonder. For such a one as I am, that the Lord is so good, so patient, and so merciful. Ah, the ship where Paul was a prisoner, there was a great storm. When we consider the ocean of this world, then we may compare personally, family, and church to a ship. And then it is a privilege and a blessing when our little ship, let us for a moment speak of a family circle, a young married couple, a couple with a few children, a family with older children, or as it were that the sea as smooth as glass, not so many contrary winds, of course no perfection, but where there are no storms. Ah, let us then for a moment, boys and girls, row beside such a ship. And then we would expect that on such a ship, oh, that the praises of the Lord would ascend to the heavens, that we would find on such a ship tears of bewilderment, that we would find on such a ship earnestness concerning the things of the Lord, that on such a ship there would be a searching and an asking for the ways of the Lord. Family circles, when your ship may be smooth and glidely through the waters at the moment, may I ask you, how is it with that little ship? Or are you so busy fishing, and it takes a lot of fish to provide for a family circle? What a cares and what a concerns there can be. May I then ask you, how is it with that fishing? Are there times? Because I read in John 21 of those 7 disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, they were also busy fishing. And when the net was filled, then John was given to say, it is the Lord. Does that also happen in our life? Or is God not in all our thoughts, or little in our thoughts? Do we only live for self? And when our ship is gliding smoothly along, no empty places, also reasons to acknowledge the Lord. When each Saturday evening, when the Lord has cared, spared, and provided for our family circle, but are there then times, and the Lord in his goodness and wisdom, he has given one day and 7 that in a special way, does not mean the other days, when we have a profound impression of divine realities and that we are traveling to eternity, then we shall think oftentimes of these things when we believe that God's word is true. But especially on the Sabbath day, and then the most important question is, because we shall all come to the end, the one ship easier, the other ship more storms, but we shall all come to the end of the journey. And then what is the most important question, boys and girls? Is that also your question? What is now the most important question? Where is our ship sailing to? Has it now been turned around? By the grace of God, needs to happen. And the Lord has promised to bless His word to that end. What have been our prayers in this morning hour? But now Paul, 276 on that large ship carrying grain from Alexandria to Italy to Rome, has come in a terrible storm. We have heard it, the fair havens. The Lord grants unto His people, those Elams, with those 12 water wells and those 70 palm trees, where they may rest, where they may drink, where they may rejoice. And it is the desire of those souls to remain there. But then the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, has led the children of Israel further. And so it is also the work of the Spirit in the life of the child of God to lead them further, lead them further in the mysteries of salvation. And then we have heard it, different thoughts, but it was not the best haven. Thus they have thought that they sail a little further to the west under the island of Crete and there to arrive at an other harbor and there to winter over. And at first it seemed the wind has blown softly that they would gain their purpose. But then suddenly and unexpectedly, then a wind has come down over the island of Crete. A great hurricane has blown. History even tells us that 2 years later, approximately after this journey, a hurricane has sunk 200 ships in the sea, in the Mediterranean Sea. And now we read in this chapter concerning our second point, that it was a terrible storm. We have already heard of contrary winds, but now we read in this chapter of a terrible storm. And so also many terrible storms can come over us in this life. A difference between contrary winds and a terrible storm. And then we can speak of many storms. The life of Paul was the storm of persecution, the eighth beatitude, which Christ has spoken in the Sermon on the Mount. And in John 15, verse 20, they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. But in John 16, verse 33, then he has said to the disciples, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And now in that way of persecution, then we have spoken of contrary winds. Think of Joseph. He has experienced much opposition from his brothers because of his godly fear, because Joseph feared the Lord. But then what a terrible storm has come upon him when he was sold into Egypt, labored in the house of Potiphar, and finally he has come into prison. What a storms there can be concerning daily bread. We think in 1 Kings 17 of that widow of Zarephath. In the time of that great famine, that her supply was diminishing. can be multiplied out, family circles, financially, unpaid bills, how difficult it can be. But now what a storm has come upon that widow of Zarephath. When she went in the morning outside to gather a few sticks and to bake her last meal and then to die. Should we not be humbled? Oh, alas. We read of the children of Israel when they have come into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. There are many upon the face of the earth. If they could come one day amongst us, and of course, they would not see all the worries and the trials, but if they would see our dwellings and everything that we have, a well-prepared table, then how astonished and how jealous they would be. A great storm. When we think of sickness, many contrary winds, but then especially what a storm it is. When the doctor asks us to come into the office and he tells us, you have cancer, that dreaded disease. What a storm then that is, how overwhelmed we can be. And oh, what a blessing it is. Those storms may come from the Lord's right hand and may bring us closer to the Word and closer to the throne. When it may be used for our conversion and in the life of a child of God, led further in the steps of grace, O needing Christ as prophet, priest, and king, then there can be a time that such a soul may say, it was good for me to be afflicted before I went astray, but now I keep thy law. Oh, it is true. So many callings that seem to be unsanctified do nothing, leave nothing behind. Yeah, they do something. Because also under trials and under storms, we cannot remain the same. I read in 2 Corinthians 2, the verses 15 and 16, a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. What a storm has come upon that God-fearing Hezekiah. Oh, it was clear. In that time, we would have met boys and girls, and we said, children, what do you think about your king? Do you think it is a king that truly fears the Lord? A king that has a new heart? What do you think, boys and girls, the children would say? Oh, they would say, we are sure that our king greatly fears the Lord. And then we would ask such a boy or girl, but how do you know that? Oh, they would tell us that has become visible because of that love of King Hezekiah for us, for the Lord and for his word. Then a great reformation has happened in the land. Then the king has warned us and he has told us of the evil of sin. Then those idols, they had to be removed. And oh, that king, he is celebrated. such a great Passover. He has even invited the 10 tribes to the north. He has sent messengers, and he has invited them all to partake of that Passover. But now Isaiah 38. Then the prophet has come and said to King Hezekiah, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What a storm that was in the life of Hezekiah. And then King Hezekiah, with everything that he has experienced, his Reformation, the Passover, then he could not die. He needed that applied salvation. Oh, he has turned himself to the wall. I am oppressed. Undertake for me. The storms of temptations, how great they can be. Maybe there are souls that are struggling with temptations and addictions, and the storm is only becoming greater and more powerful, knowing that if there's no turning and no change, that we shall sink. Storms in God's providence, mysterious ways. It is a blessing when the Lord sends those storms that we may experience something of Psalm 139. And then the last verses, that we are given to examine ourselves whether we are on that way, everlasting Lord. Oh, when the Lord sends those storms, then what a question it can be where the Lord works, whether we are truly His. Oh, to be given to say in storms what we read in our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 1, that I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has satisfied for all my sins, and so delivers me from the power of the devil. Oh, what a storm that can be. That without the will of my Heavenly Father, not one hair can fall from my head. That is by the exercise of faith. We can speak about it, people. When our ship is gliding smoothly along, then we can have such a beautiful and orthodox confession. But when the storms, when the waves become so terrible and so high, and then to be given to believe Christ has purchased this people for body and for soul, and to be given to say with Psalm 142, verse 3, when my soul is overwhelmed within me, ah, Lord, I am so fearful sometime, that the next wave, so powerful, so mighty, that it shall sink me to the bottom of the ocean. When unconverted, when not saved, to the bottom of hell. What a storms there can be. Think of Abram and Sarah without their little Isaac and becoming older, more and more impossible. And now Paul, 276 on board, a terrible storm has come, upon the Mediterranean Sea. Boys and girls, can you remember which psalm it was? Where the psalmist has spoken of a great storm? Have you read that? Psalm 107. Of those that do business in great waters, they reel to and fro as a drunken man, sometime at their wit's end, but oftentimes in those way of storms, impossibilities, then the true child of God is given to learn lessons which cannot be learned elsewhere. And now concerning that storm, then we further read that they have sailed against no further than we read, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Oh, the psalmist in Psalm 42 has declared, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And now there can be in those storms, those times, that the Lord comes over, and that they are given to experience, the Lord speaks a word, sweet communion, Lord, with thee, that in the storm they are given to see something of the power, the majesty of their God, that he is everything in his hand. But we also read in the Psalms, Psalm 6, Psalm 13, the Lord hides his face, then how distressful it can become when the word seems not to have power, when the promises seem to mock, when the devil not only assaults, when he mocks, and when our sins rise up against us. Nevertheless, our third thought, the labors with the storm. Let us first sing Psalter 114, the stanzas 4 through 7. Oh, why art thou cast down, my soul? And why so troubled shouldst thou be? Hope thou in God and him extol, who gives a saving help to me. And what follows, Psalter 114, 4 through 7. congregation, when we have spoken of different storms that oftentimes come upon the children of men, they can be so diverse. Then are there souls in my midst that are busy with another storm? We have spoken of the providence of the Lord, but the Lord has a people upon the earth that become exercised by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit with the storm of God's wrath, the billows of God's wrath. They know the reason. It is because of their sin that they have forsaken the Lord, transgressors from the womb, sinned against all the commandments of the Lord. And because of their sin, their ship, they are so fearful that it shall soon sink to the bottom of hell. Young and old, have we become a sinner before the Lord? Jesus, sinners, has come to save, but have we now become a sinner? Because the things written aforetime are written for our learning, much instruction concerning the providence of the Lord. But in this chapter, also much instruction how that the Lord leads his people. The way of God's providence, when those storms, when they come, when they are so terrible, then we do well. Oh, if we still have a conscience or a tender conscience, and when those storms come, then there immediately can be that Nathan that tells us why the Lord is coming against us, a special sin, a forsaking of the Lord. It is true, at times, the Lord in his sovereignty, he sends those storms. Think of Job, a man that feared the Lord, but that God-fearing Job, in Job 10 verse 2, wherefore contendest thou with me? And oh, in the way of grace, the Lord as a people that knows why the Lord is angry. 'Tis because of their sins. But now our third thought, it is true. Then we read discouragement. They let the ship drive. It's also a danger for us and our children that we think it's no use. I'm lost. I'm not going to be saved. It's not what the Bible says. Lord, just call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver me, and therefore seek the Lord. Oh, ask for that one thing needful. But now concerning the labors, then they have been diligent because they ran under a certain island which is called Clauda, thus a little shelter from the terrible storm. And they used that opportunity to come by the boat. That refers to the boat that a large ship has stuck behind, we would call the lifeboat. And if they would leave it dragging behind the large ship, either the rope would break or the little ship would be smashed against the larger ship. And then further, which one they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. Thus many times when there came a great storm and there was opportunity, and that crew has used the opportunity in the shelter of that island that they have put cables under the boat and tightened them, the cables up, that all the planks and the boards with that big storm, that they would remain tightly together, because our children can understand if those boards would become loose and separated and water would enter in between, then that ship would fill with water and it would sink. Thus they have tightened all those planks together. What an instruction for the church. Then you are all a plank, personally, family. And then it is so needful that we stand shoulder to shoulder, because many storms come upon the church. False doctrine, world conformity, division. Thus that speaks of the oneness of the ship. Can understand, boys and girls, one rotten plank and the ship will sink. But now further, then we read, there are so many dangers. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. They tell us those quicksands, they are on the northeast coast of Africa. And many times that is called the graveyard of the ships. That crew knew that if the wind would drive their ship into those quicksands, and that the ship, those quicksands, they cannot be seen, but where the water is more shallow, and that the ship would become stuck in the quicksand, and the hurricane would continue to blow, that ship would be blown apart. Thus a great fear of those traveling on the Mediterranean Sea. And when a hurricane would blow from the north, from the northeast, if they would end up in those quicksands, then their end, humanly speaking, would be nigh at hand. Then we must think along. Are there also quicksands in our day? Then, young people, you can understand that experienced shipman, when there was a young captain, that those shipmen would tell and earnestly warn of the danger of such quicksands, that they would say, you are still young, you are beginning as a captain, but if there is anything that you must fear, it is those quicksands on the northeastern shore of Africa, because if you become stuck in such quicksands, wonders can happen, but usually the end is that such a ship becomes stuck, sucked in that quicksand, impossible to continue, and that the hurricane winds shall destroy your ship. What must we now understand by quicksand in our day. What do you think, congregation? And of course, let us add, we have mentioned it. We do not have God's word as our guide, not respect for the Bible. When we mock with the Lord's ways, then be sure, congregation, that you can expect many storms. We have the examples in the Bible, in society, and can even be that the Lord gives such ones over to the hardness of the heart, grants of prosperity, that they may rush headlong into everlasting perdition. But let us mention the quicksands of false doctrine. How many have become stuck, suffered shipwreck? The quicksands of addictions, alcohol, drugs, porn. How many have become stuck? And that those addictions, that they have such a sucking power that even when there is a desire to escape, of course, with the Lord, nothing impossible, but how many suffer shipwreck? Do you hear, congregation? Shall we remain as far as possible from the northeastern coast of Africa as possible, not to tempt the Lord and not to think, oh, I can come close to those quicksands, but I have power. I have a will. I have power to deliver myself. She'll never suck me in. How many have stated the same and have suffered shipwreck? Further than we read, they have used the means. They strike sail. And those words in the Greek, they can have two meanings. That they have brought down the sails or put them lower at a different angle so they could still take advantage of the wind to still go a certain direction, not to end up, because those quicksands, it's clearly written, that was a great fear for that ship traveling to Alexandria. But it can also mean to let out the anchors, that there would still be a certain drag on the ship. And then we read, and we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. We read in Psalm 107, verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. And we read of such a people in Isaiah 54, verse 11, O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest, not comforted. There are souls that know what it is to be tossed with tempest. Ah, they have received the hope, experienced wonderful things. Hope that the Lord knows of them, His goodness, His loving kindness, be given to praise the Lord. But those storms, tossed to and fro between fear and hope, then it is so necessary for that people tossed to and fro. And then we could speak concerning their condition and their state. Because it can be in the life of a child of God. We have heard of Father Jacob, that estate that lies sure at Peniel, applied salvation, the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, a new name. But concerning his condition, concerning his Joseph, so tossed to and fro. And now we read on that ship, because Satan has said to the Lord in Job 2 verse 4, skin for skin, and everything that a man has, will he give for his life? And then because of the distressing circumstances, and that the storm did not let up, that it continued to blow, the waves high, the ocean ferocious, then further to save their lives, then they have done two things. And then in the first place we read, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Are there souls that understand it? What it is to lighten our ship. What must it be lightened of? Because the Lord as a people, why shall their ship now sink? 'Tis because of their great and many sins. That brings the storm of God's wrath. That brings that separation. And now when the Lord works by his grace, and we are given to experience that wrath and the exceeding sinfulness of sin, then it cannot be different. For the one, it can be a bigger struggle. For the one, is a blessing when they may soon cast it all overboard. For another, it can be a struggle. Because when we have temptations and wrong things in our ship, then our boys and girls can understand it. Then we can put it in the closet. But then when the storm becomes a little less in a weak moment, then we shall go to our closet and take it out again. Thus it must go overboard. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. Godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. And then we have stated, all for the one. Of course, a blessing. When the Lord uncovers us, we all have our sins. But to make it simple, it can be for a young person when the Lord converts them that they have not listened to a worldly song. Is that your case, young people? I'll keep it that way. That is a blessing when the Lord keeps us in our unconverted state from following hard after the world, because worldly music that has ruined many a soul. But for an other one, that they have fallen into that temptation of listening to worldly music. Used to be tapes, CDs, and then it can be, oh, they have learned the sin. But now, sometime not so quick, first to go through them, and first some are cast overboard, but not all. the worst ones. But then to experience that the waves do not become less, become greater, then maybe they go through their collection again. Some more overboard. And a time that the storm becomes so great, because it is weighing down their little ship, that they must all go overboard. Congregation, you can multiply it out. Can be temptations, can be on our phone, that we have sights that we should not have. And we do not give up so easy. But now it is the work of the Spirit to uncover further and further. That was that first casting overboard. Is that taking place in our life? It's a continual work. Have you begun, young and old, to cast those sins overboard? It's when we have an impression of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the waves of God's wrath, that separation between our soul and a God we love. Then it shall be, as we read in our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 33, of fleeing and hating of sin. Ah, the sinner, he learns more. That with all their casting overboard, that they are a sinner still. There are times. There are also times when they can cherish their sins and their idols. That they want to spare them, still keep them on their little ship. But times that they wish. What do they now wish? That they get cast overboard. And to be delivered from. Do you know what, congregation? That is that evil heart. Oh, if they could pluck it out, throw it into the sea, and have a heart that may continually fear, worship, and praise the Lord, to receive a heart washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it in our life? We are traveling to a never-ending eternity. Then there are three times that things were thrown overboard. We shall leave the second for next time. Then you have something to think about. The first, they have lightened the ship. All for souls, when they may be delivered, evil music, think also clothing that needs to be thrown overboard. We can multiply it out, that such a soul is happy and glad that their ship is a little lighter. But now that second casting overboard, that is the tackling of the ship, that is a step further. Lord willing, we hope to explain it next time. Congregation, how is it with our little ship? Where are we sailing to? Have we made that good choice that God may be our captain? His holy word, our guide, the Holy Spirit, our teacher. Needing Jesus Christ as our Savior, choosing God's people for our companions, and desiring, oh, the heavens, where the sea shall be glass, no more storms, no trouble with sin, with the world, with self, and with the devil, and their God's people, shall be given to reflect everything that has happened here below. The smooth sailing, His goodness, His keeping, but also the storms on sea, and the way of God's providence more so, and the way of God's grace, that by His grace being given to cast it overboard, that the soul may find and embrace all we read thereof. In Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46, of a merchant man trading in pearls, but then he has come across the pearl of great price, that is that blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and then he has sold the rest. The Lord work lovingly and irresistibly by His Spirit. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have tried to speak a few words. There can be so many storms. May we be given by Thy Spirit to need Him, Thy dear Son, where all the billows of Thy wrath have come upon Him, and where He is sunk, where He was laid into the earth, where He has paid the price, where He sitteth at Thy right hand as prophet, priest, and king. From thence He gathereth, He defendeth, and preserveth His church. And He shall bring each one home at last, Lord. Convert what is unconverted. When there are souls struggling, they know what it should be cast overboard. May it be cast indeed, but also the further leadings concerning the tackling of the ship. Watch over us on this Lord's Day. Help the family circles to speak of what they have heard. Grant traveling mercies return in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 382, the first four stanzas. Lord, Thou hast searched me and dost know, wherever I rest, wherever I go. Thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in Thy hand. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following. The Lord willing, the NRCEA Teachers Conference is scheduled to take place at Calvin Christian School from August 2 through 4. A prayer service for the conference is scheduled to be held on Tuesday, August 1 at 7 p.m. in the Nobleford Church, with Reverend H. Hoffman officiating, and the Learning and Living magazine are at the exit. Psalter 382, the first four stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.